It's about, I want to become healthy, fit, active, and look after myself. And therefore, there's an acknowledgement that in order to do that, I've got to pick a date.
Yeah.
I've got to work towards something. And through our obstacles, it becomes then the playground of finding where they are. And we're here to celebrate that. But also, if that person doesn't overcome the obstacles, we're here to support them. It's okay. Like, failure is okay. Because failure gives you growth. It makes you learn. It makes you adapt. And invariably, you only come back stronger.
Today, I'm joined by Matt Brook, Senior Vice President of both the Spartan and Tough Mudder brands. Spartan's mission is to help people live without limits. Their training and race events can help everyone develop the physical and mental strength to take on all of life's challenges with an unbreakable spirit.
Spartan and Tough Mudder scream everything about pushing boundaries. Mm. The notion of what we have in the Spartan and Tough Mudder brands is all around giving purpose, but you only find purpose if...
So look, I wanted to start off with a little quote from... Joe DeSena, Spartan founder, owner of Tough Mudder now too, obviously, was recently on the biggest podcast in the world, yep. The Joe Rogan Show, and he asked the question, imagine if everyone exercised for at least 20 to 30 minutes a day, I think the world would be a less aggressive and a more happy place. What do you think?
Completely. You know, science has proven that exercise releases endorphins, and endorphins make us happier. They make us more positive. They act as a release of, you know, reliever of stress. Mm. And you think about, you know, I don't know about yourself, but just going out there and doing anything physically, you know, physical, getting off the sofa, getting off the couch, going and walking, running, swimming, cycling, you name it, whatever it might be, going trekking up a mountain, but you feel better for it. And the byproduct of feeling better can only be positivity.
Yeah.
You know, and that's through everyday experiences, through friendships, through work relationships, through business. It can only be to the benefit of society. You know, it's fundamentally also why we do what we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, to enhance everyday life, everyday, you know, to give purpose, to give meaning, but doing it in a way which is just underpinning positivity.
Love it. I'm going to pull something else out as well. Right? So on your website, it says, Spartan's mission is to help people live without limits.
Yep.
Our training and race events can help everyone develop the physical and mental strength to take on all of life's challenges with an unbreakable spirit. We believe that living the hard way, based on ancient wisdom and daily training, can make us the people we were born to be. I mean, you're now Senior Vice President. What attracted you to joining a company with that kind of a mantra?
That's a great question, Alex. I think it's one whereby it's all about, but, you know, it's pushing boundaries. I forever wanted to push boundaries, both, you know, my personal life and, you know, my career to date. And everything about that, or Spartan and Tough Mudder scream everything about pushing boundaries, about finding what is uncomfortable and embracing it. And one thing where, you know, the notion of what we have in the Spartan and Tough Mudder brands specifically is all around giving purpose. But you only find purpose if you are willing to push yourself.
Yep.
If you're willing to say, you know, screw it, and I'm on a pathway. And it's where civilization, you look back in history, and civilization grew and evolved significantly over a very short period of time. Pretty much all the way up to industrialization, and obviously industrialization being a huge moment, you know, 100 plus years ago. Where we are now, whilst in the moment things feel like it's developing and developing quickly, and a lot of that's the human mind, but physically we're not developing. In fact, we're regressing.
Yeah.
Quite significantly. And that's a big then where you know where Joe and the mantra of Spartan, especially in our ethos, is positioned and why it attracted to me is you've got to put yourself back into that being that uncomfortable moment by experiencing things that don't elicit necessarily off the, you know, straight away something that's of comfort, of happiness, of but you know when you go through it you'll find it and ultimately for me. Joining the organization, knowing that actually if there's somebody who at the top thought like that,
yeah,
the wheels are everywhere else, all the cogs are going to turn in a similar fashion, they're going to have to. And certainly that it rings true, you know, and I can speak firsthand. The last five years has been nothing but a pushing, you know, what's possible or not possible, and you know, and finding that this is the result of being uncomfortable is one that's exceptionally rewarding, although it's exceptionally challenging and tough in the process.
Hey, Alex here again, and I wanted to ask you, what defining event are you doing in 2024? Something that's going to help you get from where you are to where you want to be. For me, it's going to be an obstacle course race with Spartan or Tough Mudder. If you'd like to do the same and help you develop the physical and mental strength to take on all of life's challenges in 2024, then I can help. Because Screw It, Just Do It and Spartan Tough Mudder are partnering up this February to offer you a big discount on their 2024 UK events. For Tough Mudder, podcast listeners can save 30% with the code TOUGHMUD30. Any 2024 Tough Mudder UK event for both distances. The discount expires on the 29th of February and starts on the 1st of February. Just head to toughmudder.co.uk/events and enter the code at checkout. For Spartan, podcast listeners can again save 30% with the code TOUGHMUD30. For any 2024 Spartan UK event, that's Sprint, Super and Beast, with a discount again starting on the 1st of February and ending on the 29th of February. Just head over to uk.spartan.com/EN. Both offers cannot be used in conjunction with any other offer or discount and excludes any of the other endurance race series or the Little Mudder. So join a community of normal individuals with an abnormal commitment to overcoming challenges that will test your physical strength, mental grit and aptitude for camaraderie. See you at an obstacle course race this year.
I thought of a question yesterday. So I worked for Virgin Atlantic for 17 years and then Virgin Startup for 4 or 5 years as well.
Yep.
And it wasn't that with all the other jobs I've had, it wasn't like working for a business, like working for the boss. It was a lifestyle.
Yep.
And I wanted to ask you, is working for Spartan Tough Mudder similar? Is there an initiation you have to go through?
It's not an initiation per se, except though we certainly for all of our personnel across the globe, you know, to understand and experience and be able to talk about what we do, you have to experience it. You know, one of the you could say up initiation per se, but we always ask our staff or challenge our staff to go and participate in one of our events. Because when you're in the moment, you understand it. You just get it. And no matter words on a page or the conversation that we have, until you do it, it's kind of undescribable.
So it's not part of the job interview.
It's definitely not part of the job interview. But it is a lifestyle, much to my, sometimes to my wife and my little one's dismay. But, you know, you have to, you live and breathe what we do. I have a wardrobe that's full of Spartan and Tough Mudder wear. I probably wear it too much. Every kind of minute and day you're thinking about the next step, the next challenge, what's on the horizon. And also purely because the business itself, the scale in which we operate at, very few organizations in our sector, in our space, which is ultimately participation sport, operate in as many territories around the world that we do, see as many or serve as many customers and participants. And that in itself is extremely challenging. So you've got to be on 24 hours, 7 days a week, which again, Joe would advocate for every day of the week anyway. But so it's definitely a lifestyle.
It reminded me a little, so I just recorded with a guy called Stas, who was SES Who Dares Wins Australia, has just brought a book out, goes live in a couple of days, and started the business through dark, and it was like trying to let me know these aren't just a load of models that we have out there shooting, this is us testing the kit in the most extreme conditions, because that's what we used to do and that's where we found that things were lacking, that we weren't getting what we felt we should be getting, so we designed our own.
And I think it's one where our teams on the ground, we do some events in some amazing parts of the world, but some also particularly challenging parts of the world. And, thinking firsthand, our ability to actually deliver the event is almost just as much as a challenge as what it is to the participant racing, experiencing the moment. How do you put up an enormous A-frame at the top of a 2,500-meter mountain, for example? You have to find it. The team are out there. A lot of it's handballing, a lot of it's work. It's challenging. So, kind of similar story to, that of the SAS. It's we witness it, we live it, we go through it.
What are some of those more extreme locations. You mentioned like the off air, the race in the snow.
Yeah, the race in the snow in Morzine, the trail winter race, which was something which certainly put me beyond my boundaries of comfort. But we do events in China. We've got some beautiful parts of Chengdu. I've just come back from a place called Blue Lagoon in Phuket in Thailand.
Oh, wow, okay.
We're in a gorgeous part of the world in a few weeks' time called Bright in Australia, which is an enormous kind of mountain range or mountainous range in sort of down under. We got Mammoth in the US, which
skied there, snowboarded there. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, some incredible kind of beautiful parts of the world in which you actually just take this moment of this amazing vista, the amazing scape, the amazing environment, and you put just something which is so pure within it and so rugged and that, you know, the unconceivable, then the challenge is elevated tenfold. We make it hard.
Yeah,
plus in the terrain and nature is something exceptional.
Yeah, it's the best. And you obviously see a direct correlation between overcoming obstacles in an obstacle race and overcoming the obstacles that life throws at you as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So we, one of the biggest kind of, it sounded fairly cheesy at first, genuinely, which is unlike Spine and Tough Mudder, but it was called Pick a Date. And I use this now whilst we've moved on as a campaign, because it's probably one of the most relevant campaigns to any walk of life. And we think about obstacle course racing. But picking a date, and picking a date is where, if you pick a date, everything gets meaning.
Yeah.
Because you're working towards something. So if you're in the boardroom and you have a date for an end of a campaign or a strategy or an execution plan or et cetera, bam, that's a date. If you are yourself, you know, you've got your, think about coming, you know, parenthood or the cycle of, pre-birth, you know, you've got 9-month cycle, it's a date, you work towards it. So what we kind of grasped, and then it is in effect through our races, is if you pick a date, put a mark in the calendar, I'm going to go and do this at this point, you give meaning. You have to train. You have to challenge yourself. You have to grow. You have to build a mindset. And what we then do through our races and through our obstacles, quite literally, obviously, overcoming obstacle, overcoming life challenges, is you take everything that person's been through in that cycle to that point of race day, and you allow them to test themselves. And it becomes then the playground of finding where they are.
Mm-hmm.
9 times out of 10, that person's going to overcome those obstacles. And we're here to celebrate that. But also, if that person doesn't overcome the obstacles, we're here to support them. We're here to say, it's okay. Like, failure is okay. Because failure gives you growth. It makes you learn. It makes you adapt. And invariably, you only come back stronger. And again, that's a big part of not only through our races, but how we approach a lot of things in Spartan and Tough Mudder. Like, failure is okay. It's frustrating, especially on a business aspect. But we only grow from it. We only learn from it. And if we didn't have it, you also wouldn't necessarily be, you know, kind of true. It wouldn't necessarily be the authentic experience that we portray to our audiences that we're trying to elicit to come and test themselves, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to make it easy at the end of the day, are you? It's
the
complete opposite of what you're trying to achieve. It's a challenge.
Yep.
It's a challenge for people, and part of a challenge is failure, but ultimately failure is learning and going on to try it again. I mean, one for showing up, putting the work in, and actually turning up in the first place. That was interesting. And also, I think part of it, people want to find their tribe, right?
Yes.
Their community.
We've slightly erred away from that word, given connotations it brings, but community.
Community. Okay.
So, community, and it goes back to what we talked about, you know, the first question you asked about the 20 to 30 minutes of activity.
Mm.
Well, that's one thing. But imagine if you did 20 to 30 minutes of activity as part of a community, how much more powerful, how much more meaningful that then becomes. And our brand globally is underpinned by community. It's underpinned by shared collective conscience, by shared collective movement, by passion, shared passion. Yes, okay, everybody wants to run and race and find a PB in our Spartan events. In our Tough Mudder events, it's very different. It's about the sense of camaraderie and togetherness. And, you know, you can do it when the sum of one is made up of a lot.
Yeah.
And equally on the Spartan side, although it's about racing and, finding your chasing your PB, who's the first to the podium, and, you know, the rewards that that brings. But it's also about, yeah, the recognition within a community and a community space that we're pushing boundaries. And that we celebrate those who have pushed boundaries, who have achieved. And as much as, you know, I think it's one where that is 90% of why everybody in our organisation does what they do, is the community. Mm-hmm. And the stories that we're able to both see, elicit, generate, witnessing firsthand. Because it's that in itself is, you know, I'm going to go on a tangent here, Alex, but I first got into our sector, mass participation sports, kind of by mistake. I always wanted to work in sports, always wanted to see, I had no idea where, because it's so vast, right?
Mm.
And I ended up joining this kind of boutique agency, where it was about the show behind the show, sports presentation. So, you know, you're sitting in you're watching the football, and then you see, you know, the halftime show and all the glitz and the glam or the pyrotechnics or whatever it might be. And that's, you know, sports presentation.
Right.
And we were in this offered space, and we had Victoria Pendleton and her agent, Chris, I've forgotten his surname now, embarrassingly, so forgive me, Chris. And she was going out, Olympic gold medalist, thinking about her next stage and the next chapter. She'd found a new boutique agency that was kind of a spin-off of some old ex-IMG folk. And I knew that they had an opportunity. And I just thought, hey, well, why not I go and try it? And it didn't take long after the first event. And it was for Macmillan Cancer Support as well. It was this kind of women's-only cycling ride called Cycletta. And it was from that moment, from that first event, standing on the finishing line, that I realised I was in what I was going to do probably for the rest of my life.
Really?
Genuinely. And that's not necessarily a byproduct of, you know, the, you know, kind of a screw-up mentality or et cetera. It was just I'm in this moment, and I'm seeing firsthand what this is meaning to people. I'm a 22, 23-year-old, still fairly fresh-faced. And it was that, and I just knew that this type of sector, this type of space, what it provides people is just unrivaled. Very few, you know, yeah, going to the theatre is amazing, yeah, going, but the elation of physical accomplishment, of challenge, be that fundraising money, and we'll come on, that's a whole other spin.
Yeah, that's another challenge,
All these different things that combine to when you cross a finishing line.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're standing on the opposite side to the person who's providing that moment, that medal, or that headband, or raising that arm because you've won, like, you can't beat that, I promise you. And therefore, you know, name me many other jobs in the world in which, you know, you get to have that direct feedback, that real and powerful feedback.
Yeah.
That was a huge tangent there.
And I think going back to a previous point you made as well, picking a day, I literally hammer all of my friends, family with this point that, you know, if you put a date down, it's far more likely to actually happen, even if you end up having to, put the flag in the sand. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I stand for, etc. And then just break it down into chunks, reverse engineer the process and work towards that. If it's just that I'm going to do something in the spring, I might do a marathon this year, I guarantee you, like, 99.99% of people would never get around to doing it.
It's a mindset, though.
It's a mindset.
It's a mindset, right?
Agreed.
And it's the mindset you can apply to anywhere. Even if you apply it to business, right? So many businesses either succeed or fail, and it's based on committing, right? And you've got the decision in which you make or don't make, and the more you push something down the line, it doesn't have, it doesn't come to fruition, right? Mm. And that's why, you know, some of the, you know, our pioneers in global business, you know, your Elon Musks or your Jeff Bezos or whatever, you know, they are divisive, but they're also very committal.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? They have a goal, they put their mind to it, and they say this is what's going to happen and when it's going to happen.
And prioritizing stuff. Yeah.
And I think, you know, for us, it's exactly that same. That picking a date, actually, we just said it fairly easily. It comes and kind of rolls off the tongue, but actually that's an obstacle. Right?
Yeah.
That is the first obstacle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the first obstacle of a line of many that then come to wherever then, you know, you end up and you finish.
Mm.
And I think it's one where the respect that picking a date has, you know, we talk about anybody, but, you know, and our journeys for our participants once they've signed up and how we galvanize them or how we want to support them, how we want to nurture them, because actually they've already done the hard bit.
Yes.
They've been on the website, they've found their, I'm going to use it, their poison, and they've signed up for it. And actually then it's up to us. It's up to, you know, our business, our Spartan brand and our, you know, our Tough Mudder brand and the House of Hard that we have to then really get them to that moment and to guide them and to nurture them and to empower them and to instill, you know, that sense of belief.
How many people actually make it to their start line? And I guess, like with anything, like we were just talking about live events before, and I'm always amazed with like live events that people have paid for a ticket. Yeah, 20% of people, and when we then do an event in London, it would go up to 25%, even though the tickets are more expensive. Yep. It's bonkers.
And I think it's where twofold for that is one, that's also the responsibility of the organizer. Because, and I'm not saying, you know, any theatre shows or it's very hard, but you've got to provide that sense of what's that value in which they've just spent, or what's, you know, what are they getting, and why is it so meaningful? Why is it so important? So we think about, you know, your customer journey and how you how we engage through the pre-event process. The pre-event process is just as much as important as the post-event process, because the post-event process you want to harness on the moment and get to repeat.
Yeah.
But to your point, you know, we have very different makeups across all of our house, you know, all of our brands than our House of Hard, purely designed from the nature of the person who we're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So Spartan, the attrition rate that we have is actually relatively low,
mm-hmm.
but we're also talking to invariably a customer or consumer who is almost on our same mindset,
yep.
and within that same ecosystem, high performance professionals or athletes or people who understand the importance of health and wellness in, just in general life, and therefore are probably less likely to fall off the bandwagon. Now, something, you know, around a 10% is fairly common. We've just been talking about we've been talking about your MCL.
Yeah.
You know, life throws obstacles, challenges in which you can't necessarily overcome by a date.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if you've got an injury, it's a lot, you know, it's a big part of it. Equally, we have other brands in which you do tend to see a slightly higher attrition rate. We have our Tough Mudder brand, whilst it's invariably incredibly challenging, and actually the experience of Tough Mudder and the undertaking of Tough Mudder is harder in isolation than it is in a Spartan event. The Spartan event, what makes it challenging is your race against yourself, then the obstacles, through the natural terrain.
Mm.
Hence why, you know, more performance orientated individual or et cetera. In Tough Mudder, it's about the obstacles are designed in a way in which it's not impossible, but it's extremely difficult to go there as an individual and complete a Tough Mudder event. So therefore, you get this shared kind of collective grouping, this teamwork, camaraderie, the fundamentals of what Tough Mudder is built from. But as a result of that, you potentially get less of a buy-in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if groups are forming, oh, what's one person out of a group of 10 who doesn't show up?
Yeah.
Because, it's all right. There's still 9 others. They'll be fine. And so we see, you know, again, to your point about other industry sector, you know, you do still see an attrition rate closer to 20%.
Interesting. Okay. Because a team from Screw It, Just Do It did it, and yep. one person dropped out.
There you go.
And what was interesting was, like, you know, and I knew in advance that I couldn't do it because of bloody injury again. But it's a common theme here. but, you know, like, one of the guys runs Park Run in under 20 minutes, yep. you know, and he's 51, 52 yesterday, I think he was.
Incredible.
Yeah, another guy in his 20s and he's, you know, a massive, you know, strength athlete, yep. you know, power lifter, etc. And they were both, you know, just those who we were talking about at the weekend, they were both saying they were amazed at how difficult it actually was. Yeah. They thought it was going to be a lot easier than it was. And that how long it actually took as to how long they thought it was going to take, like perception, reality, etc.
Yep. Yeah, and I think it's very few events. You know, we have a 5K product.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, I can do a 5K. Mm-hmm. Well, try and do a 5K that takes the best of athletes at least an hour to complete. That then takes the every day, you or I, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours to complete. That's a long 5K.
Yeah, it is.
It's certainly not your park run. That's sub 20 minutes.
So
I think it's, again, there's, you can understand part of the journey and then which somebody goes through as to thinking, oh, am I able to do this? Am I prepared to do this? And actually, no, I can't. I'll save it for another day.
Yeah.
But it's our responsibility, you know, with it, with Spartan to say you can do it and actually you're able to do it and we'll get you through it. And it's one where we're really fortunate because, as I said, we're able to celebrate these high performance athletes. You know, we've got an event actually in Saudi Arabia in a few weeks' time, an event in Alula. We've literally got the world's best athletes who are attending. So representing in the UK is a chap called John Albom, who he is a phenomenal both obstacle course racer, trail runner, sky runner, has probably won it all. We've got some athletes in the US. One of his great rivals is a guy called Ryan Atkins from Canada. He's coming. But anyway, we've got this kind of, we're talking about high performance level, but this event, which that event will go and celebrate the echelons of our industry and of our sport. At the same time, in, you know, a few weeks later, down in the, you know, southeast of England, we're going to celebrate the everyday athlete. We're going to celebrate the everyday warrior. We're going to celebrate the person who says, I can overcome life's obstacles and I'm going to, and I'm going to do it with teamwork and I'm going to embrace it. And it's going to be brutally tough, but it's going to be so rewarding. We're going to have fun along the way. And that's one of the great things in which we see within our business and our organization, our brand, is these kind of two
right
polar opposites, but fundamentally they're doing the same thing.
Right? Yeah.
And they're brought together. Mm. And you know, that's incredibly important that we're aware and acknowledging it, but also hugely special that we can have those.
Yeah, absolutely.
Two.
Let's talk a little bit about, for people listening, people watching, what reasons do people have for wanting to complete or compete even in an obstacle course race? Because there must be a myriad of reasons, but particularly, you know, people listening to this in the, you know, January, February, it's a particular time of year that people are, you know, whatever you want to call it, goal setting, New Year's resolutions, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it's obviously January is an enormous, huge month for brands and organisations like ours. We actually will, by the end of January, so from kind of a November, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, December, January period, we would have, on average, about 50% of our registration for the whole year, for the calendar year, will be banked.
No way. 50% for the whole year.
Yeah, for all of the events. So it's a significant, significant kind of three-month period and culminating in this month. And like you say, you know, it's the primary focus is about desire. It's about, I want to become healthy, fitness, fit, active, and, you know, look after myself. And therefore, there's an acknowledgement that in order to do that, I've got to pick a date.
Yeah.
I've got to work towards something. The reason why kind of our events like Tough Mudder invariably resonate potentially better than other traditional mass participation events is the notion of collectiveness. Mm. There are very few events out there which actually, I'm feeling this way, I want to get health and, you know, healthier, I want to get fit, I need to, or I need to lose some weight, or etc. But actually I can get my best mate Tommy to come and do it with me, because we're all going to be on the same level playing field, we're going to need each other. Or, you know, I'm going to get Joe or whomever. And it's the same thing from, you know, what you said there with the, you know, the podcast team.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, you had somebody who's a incredible runner and somebody who's a powerlifting athlete. Very two different types of athletes, but fun, brought together, become the same.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing, you know, health and well-being, and then bringing others into that to be able to. Charitable giving. Charitable fundraising is an enormous part of what we do.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, enormous part. And I think it's that unconventional challenge, right? How many times can you go and say, I'm going to go and climb a 14-foot wall, or I'm going to go and get electrocuted, or I'm going to go and carry Atlas stones up a mountain?
They said that actually hurts, by the way. They weren't expecting it to. They thought it was going to be a bit gimmicky, but that wasn't.
No, it's electricity. It's volts. Yep. And the interesting thing about that is it's always going to find the quickest way to Earth, right? So, yeah. So, you know, you can't, you know, it's very, very few places in everyday life provide you these experiences. And therefore, if you're then going to challenge yourself, you want to make it rewarding, you want to give it purpose, you want to give it meaning. And charitable fund, you know, it really resonates with it because it's so different. You know, it's not your everyday, I'm going for a run, I'm going for a cycle event. And don't get me wrong, they're also phenomenally amazing accomplishments to fundraise for. But as a result, it's because it's unique, it lends itself. And the great thing is also it lends itself on scale, because you get people together doing it.
Yeah.
And as you know, as I said, we just talked about earlier, collectivity and passion drive yields greater returns. So for charities, you know, we can generate in groups tens of thousands of pounds, which we do, you know, per annum across the globe. Certain markets have a greater propensity to fundraising, to charitable giving. The UK is obviously enormous.
Yeah.
The US is relatively strong. Other markets, sadly, you know, they don't have
traditional
kind of mindset or, you know.
You must have raised, like, numbers-wise, must be, if you could trace that, must be astronomical.
It would be, yeah. It's
like bonkers.
Tens and tens of millions.
Yeah.
Raised. On average, I think about last year, it was just over $1 million that was raised through the year through some of our key charitable giving partners.
Yeah.
And post-COVID, we're on kind of a return. So we're still on a rebound back. We're about 90% of our way there.
Okay.
Charities, it was a big kind of area which I think struggled post-COVID as well.
Yeah.
Where, you know, probably, sadly, it is one of the last things that you would tend to think about.
Mm.
Arguably, you know, often some of the most important things that we need to think about. But one in which is now starting to really see the traction, to see the fruits. And we're seeing it, you know, firsthand with the charity partners that we work with, and both nationally, regionally, and across the globe.
And it's interesting, like, coming back to purpose, really, and I've never experienced this myself before. But when I ran the New York Marathon, I almost didn't want the burden of having to raise money for charity as well as going, right, I need to train to be able to get round a course that's 26.2 miles. But then when I ended up pulling out of London last year because of, like, you know, five different injuries, people said to me, you know, what's your, mainly my wife, what's your reason for doing it? If it's just to run faster than you did before,
there you go.
Is that enough reason?
Yep.
So interestingly, so this, the reason that I changed my train time this morning, so one of the guys, the Hayden, the strength powerlifter dude, he got us all to sign up. I'm one of these idiots who throws themselves in the sea quite often in the morning.
I see.
A few times a week. Anyway, he signed us up to do 31 days straight in January.
Yep.
To raise money for a charity called My Time Young Carers. And we're tomorrow after recording this will be past the halfway mark.
Amazing.
And we raised they said raise £1,000. So we did that in 4 days. So I just said, right, double it. And then it becomes harder then because, you know, that initial burst to get the money, and I was quite incentivized to do that. And that's become more of a slog. And the daily dipping definitely become a slog because we do it in the pitch black, which, as I said to Hayden, I've never signed up to do it in the pitch black.
That must be an incredible, stimulant of the senses, right?
Unbelievably so, yeah. Yeah, just down there this morning and you're like, where's the sea? Where's the beach? Can't even see anything.
Yeah.
You know, whereas doing it at the weekend, where we do it a little bit later, 8 o'clock, you know, and you get amazing sunrise and that kind of thing. It's like a different level. And then at the weekend, we've been doing like a sauna on the beach.
Oh.
And that's like the reward at the end of the week. Yeah. It's like incentivized to do it. But yeah, it's interesting. Having never raised money for charity before, you know, shame on me, but it definitely adds meaning. It gets you to show up, your mates that are doing it as well, to not let them down to do it. So it's a different beast. So I never knew that was a huge part of obstacle course racing.
Yeah, we have two big programs. Shameless plug, but I'm going to plug it anyway. Which is, so in Spartan it's called Racing for a Cause, and in Tough Mudder it's called Mud with Meaning.
Love it.
And like you say, and it's whereby. But fundraising as well in itself is is an obstacle. Like you say, you know, you put off by the burden, the pressure. And actually, if you really want to get the most out of it, make yourself the most uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And if that means not only have I got to balance my training and I've got my mindset, my nutrition, but I've also got to find £2,500 for, you know, Alzheimer's or Macmillan or whomever else, then that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an enormous part of what we do, and I'd probably say the last point is often our events are a reaction to adversity or to a moment in which you need something to provide a spark or to give back something that could have been taken. A lot of the events, a lot of people that we have, and it goes back to what we talked about earlier about being on the finishing line. You see these moments, and I, you know, very, very fortunate in my role and the roles in which I now have when I go to our event sites, I can do this, is just spend some time on the finishing line. But overcoming alcoholism, failing marriages, challenges with business or life or an escape, you know, it might be, God forbid, but it's such a common one, you know, battling ill health or cancer or...
Yeah.
And everybody uses this moment, uses our events especially, to say, I can. Doesn't matter whatever else noise is in the world, this is me and my moment and I can, and I could show it to myself and to others. You know, and we had, again, anecdotally, we spoke beforehand, but we've got this amazing athlete called Yara Harris.
I was literally just about to say to you, haven't you got... some people who've completed a ridiculous number of races.
Yeah,
that was
so
the
she's
next question.
she's done this past year. She's done 39 trifectas, and a trifecta in our Spartan world is doing all of our products. We have a beast, which is a half marathon, a super, which is a 10K, and a sprint, which is a 5K. So you do that all on a weekend, and you get a trifecta. And she's done 39 of them this year around the world. Obviously, there's only 52 weeks in a year, and granted, we have events pretty much for 52 weeks every year. But so, and her story is one where it was built out of adversity. Her world was quite literally collapsing between a toxic ill relationship, work, and stress of a business, and you know, to a degree, health, but not on the same level, but. Utilizes as a catalyst, and then what she's done as a byproduct of now kind of where she's come, and she's an everyday warrior, right? She is a phenomenal, incredible person, but she's now using it to inspire. So what became her point about getting to the start line, and that was her inspiration because she wanted to show I can and I will, is now a story of I'm now going to inspire others because I've done it, and I'm going to continue to do it, and I can show everybody else with me that this is the way to go. And I think it's, you know, it's that opportunity that it just gives back something inside that can often be lost, right? Mm-hmm. Then it goes back all the way around to that 20 to 30 minute exercise point.
Yeah.
You take back, you own it, mm. right? Nobody can take that away from you, and that feeling and everything that it gives you, that's yours. You belong, you own it. Mm. And that's what I think is one of our other biggest primary drivers as to why people look and saying, that OCR event, you know, that crazy thing that I'm going to go and climb through a hole or, you know, walk through water or whatever it might be, get electrocuted. That's going to be my vice, and this is why.
It's far, far deeper than people listening, watching probably realise. It's not just the physical challenge of getting from point A to point B yep. and going over, under, or through
yep.
different things along the way. But there's a lot of emotion that goes into someone just deciding to do something like that, just turning up then on the day.
Yep.
And then, you know, that natural exhaustive high that you get from doing anything like this at the end as well. So,
yeah, I think it's weird. Obviously, I've just spoken about from an individual perspective, from a personal. One of the biggest and the quickest areas of growth that we're seeing right now is around corporates.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, and that's tough mudder doing that tough together.
But, yeah. And also, you know, Spartan is a bit more your hedge fund, your salesperson, the beat of the drum, okay. you know,
right.
You know, who can be the, you know, the person to lay down the marker in the office type vibe. But across the all of our House of Hard brands, we are seeing this because it's this exceptional acknowledgement that binding people together, giving people meaning, like giving people memories, giving people a moment, challenging people in a different way that's not just the 9 to 5 of the office or the boardroom, is one which is, unrivaled, and it gives incredible value. I actually just delivered an event for, and I think I'm allowed to say it, so I'm going to say it anyway, but Vanguard Asset Management, so an enormous, big management fund for all their employees and their clients, because they saw firsthand the importance of getting out and bringing people together in a different world that's not the office. And it's actually one of the primary reasons why Joe started our Spartan journey. You know, he was on Wall Street.
Yeah, that's right.
Was
yeah.
fed up with the constant, endless lunches and the dinners and the drinks, and started taking people to doing some crazy stuff, which obviously, you know, now culminated, and we have an event called the Death Race. That's a whole
yeah,
other story.
Saw but, that. Yeah, yeah.
And the relationships that they were bonding or they were forming, and then obviously the result of the deals that were being, you know, constructed off the back of these moments and the business that was happening. And I think it's, you know, again, it's one where that is, for us, is going to be a big, big area of growth and opportunity.
Yeah.
It's up to us to be able to continue to show the relevance and the importance, but it's also up to, you know, those for CSR or, you know, HR professionals or just general managers in businesses to realize actually there's way more that we can do to galvanize individuals, our team, our people, and giving them meaningful experiences, which then they can correlate to doing that 9 to 5.
Definitely. Can anybody race?
Define anybody.
Yeah, I was hoping you can. So, like, age
yeah,
wise.
So outside of insurance, because there's always some things about insurance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Without getting into anything.
So
like that, yeah.
if we obviously have kids events.
Yes.
And we have children from the age of 4 upwards who participate.
Right. That's what I was wondering. Okay.
In our kids events, and then if we think about our adult races, they're from 14 years and above. Obviously with parent and guardians, but fundamentally anybody can do it, right? And it goes back down to mindset and willingness. And we have stories from young individuals all the way through to we had 95-year-old Mildred who completed a Tough Mudder event last year and came back, and that was a third. So
That's bonkers. Amazing.
Absolutely bonkers. And then we have an adaptive athlete program we provide the tools. We've actually just created in Tough Mudder. We invested in a specific chair that will enable athletes, because it's very tough, right? The terrains and the nature of what we do isn't your everyday. And therefore, it's up to brands, businesses, organizations like us to be able to provide the tools or to be able to provide the opportunity to be able to harness. So we've got a big adaptive athlete program. So it is pretty much, you know, the everyday, everybody, for those that are willing, obviously, with the mindset, right?
Interesting.
That's the bit
that
I've
it came up actually in my so I just interviewed last Friday a guy called Toby Gutteridge.
Yep.
So it's ex special forces, got paralyzed from the neck down, being hit with a bullet out in Afghanistan. He said his wife literally has run every Tough Mudder Spartan race. So now he's got a company called Bravery.
Yep.
And I said to him, right, we're putting a team together. So I'm going to meet him for a coffee week after next when I'm back. And I said, let's get your wife on board with a Screw It, Just Do It team.
Amazing. Yeah. No. And we have people, and it's sad. But, you know, we had a participant who his name's Mark, who had MS, and over the last few years, obviously, it's got progressively worse. But we've been with him on that journey. We've helped him, and we've given him the experience, and his what he presents to us, and his what he needs. We do our utmost to provide.
Yeah.
And we do that for, you know, any of our programs, because we don't want it to be a blocker between can and can't. If your mindset says you can, then it's up to
us to make it happen. Yeah, yeah.
Because then we're the obstacle, and that's then we're, you know, the that's ill placed. So
yeah. And what was I going to ask? I was going to ask. So, like anything in life, perhaps, what can people do to prepare rather than just wing it and hope for the best on the day? And I saw you've got like a 24-day program called Build Your Body to build positive habits that also covers like nutrition, fitness. Joe also has a newsletter and a podcast called The Hard Way too, right? So there's plenty there, like when you onboard people to take them through.
Yeah, so I think it's the providing the tools. You know, we have an abundance of tools, training manuals, nutritional advice. We work with a number of experts within our space, and we do that for twofold. Is one, because we want to make sure somebody can. We also want to make sure those people who are pushing the boundaries of our sport and of humanity have also got the tools to be able to, you know, if needed from us. It's mindset. Right, on my sleeve. This wasn't actually planned, but I realised it my way. But unbreakable is a mindset. And so we have a saying in Spartan, which is just be unbreakable. And you can apply that to anything, not just our events. But if you are able to find your headspace, to find that mindset, to channel that mindset, then everything else will be taken care of.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter, genuinely, it doesn't matter the tools in which we have an abundance, the 24 day program, building your best and etc. It's you just got to be ready to want to do it.
Yeah.
And if you're ready to want to do it, then we're here to help you. And I say that to the team, you know, I actually said that. I use the quote, which was around, you know, in January, the first day of the new month of the new year, is, you know, you have a book that's unwritten.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And however you want to go and write it is then your story.
Mm.
Every day that goes, you lose that momentum, you lose that opportunity.
Mm.
And I said this in, you know, again, we talked about our athletes and the number of customers or participants that we have signing up per annum, and you know, a big part of our business is done by the end of January for the year. So we don't have time to then carry on writing, because the story's been written for us, right? You can't catch up, or if you are playing catch up, it's not a fun story. And you know, I think I use that analogy. So we talk about mindset within our teams and driving for, you know, high performance teams in our business, and it's the same just for the individual. You know, you want to put forward that the right mindset, because the mindset is will lead everything else.
Is it interesting, like chatting to Toby, and like part of his story was that, you know, after he got shot for 2 years, he was lying on a bed looking at the ceiling, going through rehab, and ended up like in a psychiatric ward because severe, you know, depression and mentally ill. And he said he met a psychiatrist who's now a really good friend of his. And he said it was only when he framed what he could do rather than what he couldn't do.
Yep.
And it's that mindset. He said all that he had been thinking about and all that people had been telling him, you won't be able to do this anymore, you won't be able to do that anymore. But once he'd kind of reframed what the future could look like, and I think easily to reflect that back as to what you offer people, and people listening and watching now can look at it and go, okay, the year is still young. I can still, you know, write my story. I can still reframe whatever's gone on in the past and turn it into a positive if I've got the mindset, if I pick a date.
Yep. Yeah, and stick. And I think it's one where opportunity presents itself, and it's if you're willing to take the opportunity. Mm. And it's, I think it's, yeah, that is literally, you just encapsulated it there with an amazing way with your friend Toby. But for Toby's sake, the more you say I can't, or the more something happens, it just reinforces. Yeah. Now, I am not a psychologist. I don't profess to be. Mm. I profess to be a person or an individual who's just got a relatively, what I feel is, a clear mindset. And I think, you know, we always talk about that in our business internally. And hopefully then, you know, obviously projects into our experiences that we offer around the world. But if you project the I can, not necessarily I will, but I can, then that leads to better change, at least a bit of momentum. And I think, you know, when we do our business on a day-to-day basis, and I think about we have these kind of daily scrums talking about performance, we have team meetings or town halls, as we call them, because we're US, predominantly US.
That's what Virgin used to call them.
Oh, love a town hall. Right. I always think about a town crier ringing to come and, anyway, or huddles or et cetera, whichever vernacular you want to use to describe them. But within it, you know, we always reinforce that we don't focus on the bad. We don't focus on what has been. We focus on this is the reality, and then this is the next thing, and how are we gonna keep moving? Because, like you say, for Toby, the reinforcement of the negativity only, you know, disabled him in many ways. Whereas you want to be enabler, and that's also what our organization is. It's an enabling people to go out there and do it, to go out there and just find it, overcome, and hopefully, as a byproduct, you know, be better for it.
Here's a question.
Yep.
What's the biggest obstacle that Spartan, Tough Mudder, yourself even, have navigated?
Ooh.
Was it COVID or? Yeah.
Yeah, it's COVID. They're both actually fairly linked. So our COVID, obviously, for a business like ours, which is reliant on bringing people together and, you know, shared collective experience in their thousands. You know, our events for us, you know, a small event is 3,500 people. Our largest events are 20,000 people.
Small event, 3,500?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes.
It's at scale.
Yeah. So, you know, the business which is reliant on bringing the 10 million people that has together, the inability to bring people together is a bit of a conundrum, right?
to solve.
And overnight, we had to pivot from this live outdoor experience, collective experience, to something that was online, that was digital. And obviously, you know, we're fortunate enough in the way in which our organization is geared and the nature of our events that we can go to training, we can go to mental well-being and health and guidance. We can go to an online type of presence, but it was incredibly challenging.
Yeah.
And overnight, you know, around the world, you open up yourselves to refund liability, to, you know, the stresses and strains that COVID brought not industries just like ours, but every industry. On a personal note, I joined the business in late 2019. And it was this kind of first moment that I had where I was going from an agency, a fairly, or a setting in which wasn't necessarily lacking of exposure, but was also a bit kinder, I'd say, to the Spartan ecosystem, to looking after a business. And within 5 months of us being there, the business in which I thought I was joining was no longer there, literally overnight.
Completely different business.
Yeah. So, you know, on a personal level, that challenge as well with having to adapt and thinking, what the hell? I was only, you know, getting my shoes, my feet under the desk and, you know, trying to find a rhythm and a cadence. And, you know, it's like a bomb had exploded and it was all in pieces. So both for the brand, the business and myself, COVID has definitely been one of the biggest challenges today. You know, through that, and it's typical Joe fashion, just before COVID as well, we just concluded the deal to take on Tough Mudder.
Yeah.
So we then taken on Tough Mudder, and again, within, it was 3 weeks, I think, of, I remember meeting the UK team at the time in their offices. 3 weeks later, we were all working from home and we couldn't bid on the events. So, you know, immense challenges, and it'd be amiss of us to, or for me to sit here and say, we haven't been, you know, we're out of the fallout of that. You know, the pressures that phenomenon brought a lot of business, but business like ours on scale, which couldn't make good straight away what it lost in that year.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing, you know, we talk about mindset and we talk about presenting opportunity or you know, and repeater business is a huge part of our business.
Yeah.
But also our customers operate really in kind of life cycles. And you know that, you know, our consumer, our customer kind of has a wobble, a bit like a marriage where you say you've got that kind of 5 or 7 year itch or whatever.
Yeah.
Had this kind of wobble around 3 years.
Okay.
And you've got to do everything to be able to keep hold of them. So if you think about over the COVID period, we've kind of lost 2 years.
Yeah.
So you lost two sets of people who were going through, or 2 years worth of people who were going through their 3 year itch.
Right, I see. I was going to say to you, did you lose like a particular demographic in that journey? Interesting.
You know, and as a result, because you can't give them that, you then have a, you know, we've come out the other side and you've got this kind of difficulty to engage with them again. And to, you know, I never want to call anybody a, you know, a lapsed person or somebody, you can't. But the reality is they've moved on.
They've gone somewhere else.
Yeah. And either they're finding advice or they just, because they haven't had it presented to them, they've lost their way.
Yeah.
So again, one of our big challenges right now is re-engaging that potentially lost audience. You know, new customers at the moment across the board, new audiences are rife, and we're seeing you know, some real excitement and energy out there for people who are ready to sign up, you know, to stand up and say, I can and I will. And I think that's a big part of society as a whole right now, far more attuned to the importance of mindset and mental well-being. Far more attuned to the values and natural values of health and well-being. So it helps. But you also, you know, you've got to keep them engaged. And
have you seen anything? I was going to finish up, but I've just thought of this question.
Yep.
I've got like two teenage daughters, like. One's about to become 15, one's about to become 17. But can you track as to what age people in any kind of numbers start to join, and has there been a drop off just based on, you know, these bloody things, iPhones and smartphones and all the rest of it, and a million other things they could be doing with their time?
Well, and it's really interesting that you pick up your iPhone, because we are finding that in order to get somebody to our events, we're having to market in a completely different way.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
Because interest levels for a younger demographic aren't where they once were 10 years ago.
Yeah.
When we were, you know, the business was in its infancy. And how you engage your audience is, you know, and the content, the story, the way in which you're telling somebody is very different to what it, you know, to, again, to what it once was, because we just talked for an hour now at the importance of, you know, mental well-being and overcoming an obstacle and what that provides you if you exercise or, you know, cross the finishing line. But we've got 30 seconds to be able to tell that story, you know, on a TikTok or on, you know, or on YouTube, and how people are now consuming their every day. And that, as a result, like you say, you know, for your daughters or anybody else, is becoming an, you know, an increasingly challenge, because we know when we get them there, we'll get them and and we'll provide them that moment. But it's
because they can't get that anywhere else in the age that they've been brought up in. They can't get it anywhere else.
Correct.
So if you frame it in the right way, on, he says, waving his iPhone again for those listening, if you can get it. And interestingly as well, like in the UK, so the new MD for YouTube. And she was saying what they're trying to push is longer form content. So, you know, like hour plus interviews, and you see the success of Diary of a CEO, High Performance Podcast, these kinds of things. So, and biggest audience for fastest growing audience for podcasts is Gen Z. So it's interesting that they then acknowledge that and reward people who are making content that is that long. But equally, you've got those extremes, haven't you? You've got the 30-second TikToks and Snapchats, and you've then got the one to, I mean, talk about number one podcast in the world, his podcast, like 2-4 hours long, aren't they?
Going into some really deep you know, deep meaningful holes. But definitely, and I think, you know, that's for any business, any consumer facing business, is probably one of the greatest challenges. You know, is the digital age, and you know, yes, COVID gave probably an opportunity for many like ours to embrace it and get moving with it. But at the same time, it is a bit open-ended, and it's certainly a challenge.
And if people want to choose Spartan or Tough Mudder to choose that, you know, year-defining event, what's the easiest way for them to do that, Matt?
On the website. So we have www.spartan.com or www.toughmudder.co.uk. And plethora of the events that we have. You can choose from anything in the UK, or if you want to go further afield, anywhere around the 45 plus countries that we are in the world.
Fantastic. And we've got some more news on that front, and to make it easier for those of you listening to do that as well. So stay tuned for more news about that.
Thanks for watching this episode of Screw It, Just Do It. Let me know what you thought of it in the comments below this video. Has this episode helped move you closer to where you want to be? All that I ask is that if you enjoyed this episode and that it's moved you closer to getting to where you want to be, that you share this episode so that it helps one other person do just the same. Just ask yourself what small action will move you forward to get you from where you are, then screw it and just do it. Until next time.